The scripture reading for our meditation today is taken from the book of the prophet Isaiah, the 60th chapter, the first three verses. Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you. For behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. But the Lord will arise over you, and his glory will be seen upon you. The Gentiles shall come to your light, and kings to the brightness of your rising. These are your words, Heavenly Father. They are your truth. We pray that you would now strengthen our faith through them. Amen. Back in the early 1800s, there was a doctor out on the East Coast who had a number of tuberculosis patients that he was hoping to heal. And so he gathered them together one day and took them to a large cave in Kentucky and brought them inside of this deep, dark, moist cave with the hope that being in there and staying in there for a while might help improve their health. Sad to say, it went the other direction, and five of his patients died. In the 1920s, another man, entered that same cave roughly 100 years or so later and found a different passageway into this enormous cave. He got lost inside of it for 18 days because of how deep and dark it was, and ended up, they found his body weeks later. Just last year, a little 8-year-old autistic boy who lives near those caves found his way into the cave, and they later on, sad to say, found him dead. This is the Mammoth Cave. It's a national park now in Kentucky. Maybe some of you have been there. I've been there. And inside of this enormous cave is a deep, dark cavern that is probably equal to maybe 2 to 3 sizes of this sanctuary. But when they turn the lights off in there, and I've been in there when they did it, it gets so unbelievably dark that you seriously cannot see your hand in front of your face. And it's very easy to understand how people could get lost in there and die. Back in 1941, it was turned into a national park. It has 400 miles of passageways inside of it. Just think of that, 400 miles of passageway inside of this cave. Every time that I read the text before us, I think of my day when we went to visit that cave. God says, darkness shall cover the earth, and deep darkness the people. And he's using this in a spiritual sense to talk about our human reason and intellect and our inability to know God on our own. All of that has just been mired down in this deep darkness. And our souls, by themselves, are completely far away from God to such an extent that he refers to it as this deep darkness. Not just darkness, deep darkness. The human conscience is naturally filled with fear about God. If you look at all the religions of the world besides Christianity, they try to come up with something we have to do to appease this God. There's a sense of fear about this great being in the sky. And we don't know where to turn. We have no real knowledge of God. People grope around just like in a dark cave trying to figure out how to find this God, how to possibly make this God happy. But there's this blanket of absolute darkness that just covers our heads in a spiritual sense, this deep darkness. The day that I was in that cave, our tour guide, probably had about 50 people in there with us, our tour guide turned off all the lights, and we stood in there for about 2 minutes of just intense deep darkness. And she asked us to be quiet so that we could just stand in there in the darkness. It was kind of a chilling feeling, I remember. Then all of a sudden, she took a candle out and lit a match and lit one little candle and held it up. And within about 20 seconds, you could see every face in that large, huge cavern, all the people that were in different parts of the cave. And it was amazing how that little tiny bit of light was used in such a way that our eyes now could focus and to see what was really going on. That's also another little picture of the gospel. The gospel seems so insignificant, this message about a man who lived years ago and died on a cross and so on. It seems like such an irrelevant, little insignificant message. And yet God tells us that through that message about Christ, through this wonderful hope that he gives us of going to heaven through faith in him, that little tiny, seemingly small light of the gospel enlightens us in faith so that we can now see and know our way through the darkness. And when the gospel arrives, it not only shows us the truth of Christ and what he's done for us, but it also exposes how deep the darkness was that we were in. The contrast is so great. And when somebody finally comes to faith in Christ, maybe as an adult, and they learn now to love him as their Savior and that he died on the cross for their sins and the hope of the resurrection and everything that comes with that beautiful teaching, you'll frequently hear this from adult converts, that they'll say, "I didn't realize just how lost I was. I didn't realize how far away from God I really was in my thinking and in my heart." That's what the gospel brings, not only a knowledge of how to get to heaven, but it also brings a knowledge of our condition before God had brought it to us. Suddenly they realize the darkness that they had been living in, and it exposes the foolishness of our hearts as to how we might think about trying to get right with this God. The light of Christ and his truth now reveals how lost we were. Just like a blind person who has lived their whole life without sight, and then if miraculously or suddenly gets that sight, maybe from a surgery, oh man, do they realize now what they've been missing. Listen to what St. Paul wrote. He said, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise," God speaking here, "I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent." And this is all, this light that we now have by faith is all found in Christ. Our text says, "The Lord will arise over you." And so God here in this text is talking to you, the believers in Christ. He's speaking specifically to you, and he says to you, "Arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon you." Reflecting what Jesus says about himself being the light of the world, St. Paul refers to us believers in Christ as children of the light, carrying this very same light of the gospel with us as we go through our lives here in the world. The believer who now has been blessed to be in this light of God's grace, the same believer who lives in that light now also exhibits and shines forth that light by his or her confession of Christ. We are now bearers, carriers of that beautiful light that the world needs to know and to see to find its way to heaven. Notice it says, "His glory will be seen upon you." Listen to what Martin Luther says about this. Why does Isaiah say "your light" when it means God's light? He says, I answer, it is at the same time God's light and Jerusalem's light, that means the church's light, and the light of us all as Christians. It is God's in that he gives it. It is ours that we are enlightened by it and enjoy its rays. So notice what God says in our text about the church, about believers in Christ. He says, "The Gentiles shall come to your light and kings to the brightness of your rising." Now, clearly, we can all see the prophetic words about the wise men in that as we now come to an end of the Epiphany season, okay? Clearly, it's prophetic about the work or about the wise men coming, but it's also talking here about the church, about the believers. It's talking about you as someone who's been blessed to be in that light of God's grace. The church now confesses and carries with her this little light of Christ, and Gentiles will come to it. Unbelievers will come to it through the confession and the work and the prayers and the offerings of those who bear this light in the world. And so your Savior, who is your light, says to you, his child of light, "Let your light so shine." Amen.